The scripture on which the following sermon is based is the Old Testament reading assigned for October 2nd, 2011. It comes from Exodus chapter 20, beginning with the first verse. Then God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day, and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land of the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not cover your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." When all the people witnessed the thunder and lightning, the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, they were afraid and trembled and stood at a distance and said to Moses, "You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come only to test you and to put the fear of him upon you so that you do not sin." Here ends the reading.
In the name of Jesus Christ, resurrected from the dead, Lord and Savior of all. Amen. Please be seated. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. One of the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. How did this one get in? I mean, think about it. God is here giving these huge, tremendous edicts for humankind. Really big ones. And of the ten, one of them says, take a day off. It's not really what one might have expected. Not only were they important, I mean, he inscribed these things on stone and sent them down the hill with a prophet. And one says, take a day off. I think this has got to be, well, along with honor your mother and father, maybe one of the least paid attention to of the commandments. And I think there's no sense that there's a need for it, really. I mean, think about it. If we all start killing each other, committing adultery and all this other stuff, things are going to get a little messy. But going to the mall on Sunday surely isn't going to hurt anything, or as they would envision on Saturday. That's not going to hurt anything. Not taking a day off? That's not going to hurt anything. So why does it matter? Well, of course, it does matter. God cared. The model for this comes from the story of creation. How many days did it take to make the earth and all that is in it? 6 days. And on the seventh day, God
rested.
Not only did he rest, he ceased his work. So it wasn't just like he was tired and sat down. He intentionally stopped working. And that's where the model for the Sabbath begins. And the Sabbath, as Jews have lived it out for generations, is an opportunity to do just that, to stop working, to stop doing those things that distract us, to allow time to be with family, to be with friends. The typical Sabbath day for an observant Jew begins, of course, at sundown on Friday and runs through sundown on Saturday. And it has, as it's lived out, it has elements of worship. There are important meals to be shared. And there is time to be spent with others where you're not distracted by your smartphone and by your email and all that entails.
My favorite class, I think, one of my favorite classes in seminary, was on Judaism. The rabbi who taught the class was a very prominent rabbi in Washington, D.C. He advised the White House and all this kind of stuff. And he came in, and I don't believe the irony was lost on him, that he was teaching Judaism to a bunch of people who would soon be Christian priests. But the one day I remember the most is when he described what Sabbath was like for his family. And as he spent most of the class talking about what it was like to live the Sabbath. And I remember distinctly kind of feeling a longing for that. Thinking, wow, how cool would that be? Now that was, I don't know, 17 years ago, and I have not yet managed to pull it off. I do try to set time for myself. I'm blessed to have Mondays off so I can send the boys to school and Kathy to work and me and the dog. Kathy doesn't have that gift on her days off. But Sabbath is important. God made it one of the top 10. Question is, why do we need it? Why do we need it? Obviously, as I've said, we make that connection with family and friends. It's an opportunity to reconnect with God. As I said, there are elements of worship as the Jews live it out. Opportunity to reconnect with God in ways that are new and reviving and restoring. But there's more to it than that. Maybe that's the most important, but there are a lot of other important things that come out of it. There was a study done among students at the Princeton Divinity School. The students were given texts on which they would have to preach. Half the class was given the story of the Good Samaritan. So the man is lying on the side of the road, beaten and robbed, and people walk by till the Samaritan comes. And he helps and has mercy and shows pity, and he is the neighbor. You remember that story. Well, after the students were assigned their text, they were told to go to a building, another building, to preach. And as each of them walked by on their turn, there was a man on the side of the sidewalk in need of help. And one would predict that the people who had just studied, prepared to preach on the story of the Good Samaritan, would have been the ones to stop and help. Turns out that wasn't the case. Turns out what they'd been studying had nothing to do with it. It was whether or not they were pressed for time. The people who had not set enough time aside wouldn't stop to help. That setting aside of the time to replenish your soul yields generosity, yields mercy, compassion. It's an opportunity to regain all of this. Now, certainly stress is a problem. As I said, our smartphones don't seem to help us get a break, do they? The drug of choice these days, I think, is not illicit. It is the 70-hour work week. It is the smartphone or the phone that can get us anytime, anywhere. It is email that never stops. And we keep paying attention to it. And there is no break. And that leads to stress. Now, stress in its basic form is a good thing. Because stress is that biological reaction to a stressor, something external that's causing us to react. And in the short term, that's good. That saves us from the lion running after us, right? But chronic stress, stress that never ends, is generally bad for our bodies, not just our souls. Few effects that have been documented from stress. High blood pressure, which of course gives an elevated risk of heart attack or stroke. Your immune system becomes suppressed. You don't fight off illness as well. Your capacity to learn and to memorize things goes down. Brain cells die. One is more likely to be depressed if one is stressed. Fat distribution and storage changes. With a lot of stress, you might get that spare tire might grow, or muffin top, whatever you want to call it. There's increased risk of cardiovascular disease. All this, I think, comes from the speed of our world. Technology really has lied to us. Technology has told us over the years, we're going to make it easier. We're going to make things easier. Do you know, in the early 80s, after the PC first came out, it was said
that with the dawn of the PC, the work week would go down to 22 hours. They lied. They lied. It's just more and more and more. The rest yields great rewards. You think about it. Sports teams know they need timeouts. They're not just to manage the clock. They're to prepare for what is to come. To get a rest and to prepare. Music. Music has rests that builds anticipation. It creates an environment in the music. It adds beauty to the music. Just a simple rest. The call is to slow down. The end of that creation narrative says, "So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it." What that means is, the very first thing that God blessed in the entirety of Scripture is that day off. That day off. That day of Sabbath. The first thing God blessed. And then Jesus went from there. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Come to Jesus, all who are weary and heavy laden. Sabbath. Sabbath in Christ. Now it has been said that the devil never takes a day off. And that may be true. But what that leaves us with is the choice. Which model are we going to choose? Amen.